What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, where you'll find out what the Fukushima's going on.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show today. It is Wednesday, April 15th, 2020, middle of the weekday, hump day, starting that long, slow glide down to Powhana Friday and whatever insanity waits for us at the end of the week. We have a lot to talk about today. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. Mike is in our control room, twiddling the dials, keeping us out of trouble and ready to answer the phone when you call on in. Put you on the air with your comments, questions, and opinions. A lot of anniversaries today here on April 15th. And in a normal year, this would be the deadline to get your taxes in. But, of course, that's been extended to July because of the coronavirus. It's the anniversary of Lincoln's assassination at the Ford Theater. It's the anniversary of the Boston bombing. It's the anniversary of the sinking of the Titanic. And it's the anniversary of the fire at Notre Dame Cathedral. So, whole bunch of different things there. So, let's see. We've got... getting on into the news here. Apparently, a lot of Bernie Sanders supporters don't want to back Joe Biden. And I can kind of understand that. It was a somewhat rancorous contest. But more to the point, Joe Biden is clearly deteriorating. And I can imagine that a lot of people who wanted Bernie Sanders are looking at Joe Biden and say, this isn't a substitute. And I would not be surprised to see many of them voting for Donald Trump. In fact, there's already one Democratic state representative who's refusing to endorse Joe Biden and saying that she's going to support Donald Trump. So the Democrats have a very serious problem on their hands. And this is a repeat of what happened in 2016 when Bernie Sanders supporters refused to go along with the chosen candidate. Speaking of the chosen candidate, Hillary Clinton has been compelled or is being compelled to testify under oath for judicial watch regarding her email handling and the Benghazi incident. So any possibility that she's going to try an end run for the nomination, she's going to have to get over that hurdle somehow. I have to be very honest, and yes, it's personal. I'd like to see her in jail. For Benghazi, for the emails, I mean, she committed felony violations of Title 18, for which people do go to jail. And there's all the other stuff that's going on, all the way back to Vince Foster. So anyway, by the way, remember Hunter Biden, Joe Biden's son, got caught with his hand in a few little cracker barrels around the globe here. Apparently, he's still listed as a board member of this Chinese private equity firm that he said he would resign from last October. But according to company records, he's still on the board of directors. Why isn't that being looked into? Meanwhile, of course, as we head into the final months of the election season, 7 months here, Trump's real opponent isn't Joe Biden. It's election fraud. And the Republican National Committee isn't dealing with this. Trump isn't dealing with this. He started out with his Voter Integrity Committee, took it apart, dumped the whole thing onto the Department of Homeland Security, and the Department of Homeland Security hasn't really done much about that at all. So we're going to have another really crooked election, and Trump could lose because the people who tried to steal the election from him in 2016, they're going to be back trying twice as hard. And Trump had a chance to do something about it, and he failed. He dropped the ball here. All right, getting out into the international news here. Gaza has barely any coronavirus test kits. Apparently, everything that's being sent to Palestine to help them deal with coronavirus is being commandeered by the Israeli government. Apparently, the Mossad is admitting they're stealing personal protective equipment and medical supplies anywhere they can get them around the world. You know, that just seems to be their attitude. You know, Israel first and everybody else can have the leftovers. So apparently Sunday, Israel allowed five test kits from the World Health Organization into Gaza. Meanwhile, of course, the United States and Israel are teaming up to thwart the war crimes probes. This is Palestine has gone up to The Hague, to the International Criminal Court, and their chief prosecutor is out there saying, yeah, there's a prima facie case, you know, for war crimes charges to be brought against Israel. And of course, the ICC is supposed to be independent. And if they knuckle under to Israel and the United States, basically destroy the credibility of the entire Hague. All right, the Air Force has deployed their first laser weapon systems overseas. We've been hearing about laser weapons for quite some time. They've been in development. They actually have one that they put together at the Air Force Research Laboratory, and it's being put out into the field to combat drones for a 12-month field assessment. And they're going to evaluate if this directed energy weapon system can be a game-changing capability to defend high-value assets from drone swarms or drone attacks. Several systems that they'll be evaluating over the 12 months include the Raytheon high-energy laser, the Raytheon high-power microwave, and the AFRL tactical high-power operational responder drone killer. So we'll see how they do with that. Great if they can get it to work. All righty, if you are a computer user and if you are using Windows, and if you are, you have my deepest sympathy here. Apparently, the April 2020 patch yesterday came out with fixes for 3 zero-day exploits that were found and another 113 bugs. I have this crazy kind of idea here, and this is kind of going back to like the days of the Commodore 64 and the Apple II. And that is that you release this stuff without any bugs in it because it was all hardwired in ROM anyway. You know, but today the model seems to be, oh, we'll just put it out there with a few thousand bugs. And those end users, they'll find the bugs for us. We won't have to pay them for doing all that work. And they'll tell us where the bugs are. And, you know, maybe we'll fix them and maybe we won't. One of the reasons why computers aren't fun the way they used to be. Instead of the computers working for us, we're working for the computers. All righty, getting into the economic news here a little bit. Apparently, Donald Trump's name will appear on the coronavirus relief checks. Now, most people are getting their coronavirus relief money by direct deposit, either based on a previous income tax record or on your Social Security. If you're a Social Security recipient, it should be coming through that same system. But for people who have neither, they are going to have physical paper checks. And Donald Trump wanted to sign them, not personally every check himself, but he wanted his signature to be on it. And the Treasury Department said, no, actually, the president doesn't get to sign the checks. They're signed by the Secretary of the Treasury and one other person based on the amount. But Donald Trump insisted that his name appear on the checks, so they're having to print an additional layer onto the checks. It's going to delay it for about a week. Trump will have his name. He's making decisions based on his ego. And maybe somebody in his advisory council said, you know, we got to get your name on that check there. It's going to help you win the election in November, and maybe it will and maybe it won't here. Now, we had a caller into the show yesterday talking about this. But apparently the Treasury Department has given banks the green light to seize the $1,200 stimulus check to pay off debts. Apparently banks and debt collectors can get into line before you and grab that $1,200 per person, $2,400 per couple, $500 for each kid check for outstanding debts. And consumer advocates decried this as cruel and unacceptable. The whole point of these payments is for people to be able to feed themselves during this crisis, not to make the debt collectors, you know, happy. Anyway, more than 80% of the tax provisions hidden in the Coronavirus Relief Act will go directly to millionaires and billionaires. It's been branded a rotten, un-American giveaway. And for ordinary Americans, well, we're just getting the crumbs left over from the table. Oh. 82% of the benefits of the provision will be received by those who earn $1 million or more annually. Less than 3% of the benefits will go to Americans earning less than $100,000 a year. The massive transfer of wealth from you to the already rich and do not need it. Paul Craig Roberts is out there with an article saying that we're still kicking the can down the road until it blows up. He says we need a debt jubilee or the system will collapse. And he's absolutely right. The debt is unsustainable. And that, unfortunately, is an artifact of private central banking, which by design produces more debt than money with which to pay the debt. until the debt overwhelms the system and brings it crashing down. Now, in the past, when individual countries were working with private central banks, when one would get close to crashing, the private central banks in other countries would step on in and restart the scam all over again. But today, because of globalism, it could all come down at once. Would be a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for the people to stand up and say, no more private central banking. No more money created out of thin air. We have an honest money system like this country started with. And then we avoid these problems. You know, we avoid being prey for the money junkies. Now, they had a really rough day on the stock market today, but one stock that's doing very well is Amazon, which is getting very, very rich selling non-essential items to people who can't get the essential items at their local big box stores anymore. And as a result, Jeff Bezos, who's already the world's richest man, saw his fortune grow by $6.4 billion with a B dollars. Amazon's value has hit $1.1 trillion, all of this on the back of the lockdown online shopping. Now, for non-Amazon retailers, sales slumped 8.7% in March, the deepest drop on record ever. Right now, Americans are buying food and not much else. That is devastating huge swaths of the retail industry. They're looking at iconic American retailers that we've all grown up with. We've seen the stores out there. Wondering they might not be there anyway. May Company, Sears. JCPenney is looking at bankruptcy right now. As of this year, the national debt will exceed the gross domestic product. And yes, there are other nations whose national debt exceeds their GDP, some by quite a wide margin. But for the United States, it's kind of a new thing. And it's just another indicator. We'll never be free of the national debt. The system is designed to keep us enslaved to debt, or at least imagining that we're slaves to the debt, because that's how it all works. It's like a religion. It only works if you believe that that debt represents something real, that it represents an obligation on your part. Oh. Banking isn't a science. It is a religion. It's a set of arbitrary beliefs that benefit the priesthood, meaning the bankers, the money junkies. And it works as long as everybody's raised to believe this is how it's supposed to be. And there's no other way to run an economy. But of course there is another way to run an economy, the way this nation started. All right, we're going to go ahead and take a phone call now. Joe in Tennessee, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike, I wanted to talk about these stimulus checks that are being mailed out with Trump's signature. The story in the Washington Post about this delaying the checks turns out to be erroneous, like most of the fake news major publications and newspapers. And I just think that, like, I look at this whole story as whether it's Trump's ego or Trump's genius, because, I mean, I could see him just sitting back going, now listen, let me put my name on it and we'll watch their heads explode, you know, because this is an epic troll, if you ask me. I mean, he's got a story, and everybody's talking about how the checks have Trump's name on it. Now, you know how, like, marketing works and everything? People affiliate a good thing with Trump, a check from the government with Trump, and I think it's brilliant. And now it's probably a combination of ego and brilliance, but I think that it is a smart move. I mean, he doesn't lose at all because the checks aren't going to be delayed because of it. That's a lie. But meanwhile, they're talking about the checks that people are going to be getting having Trump's name on it. And I think that that's a good story to be projected as a propaganda thing out into the nation. But I have to say, I watch him a lot. And one thing that really bothers me that he's doing, he's always bragging about this $250 billion agriculture deal that they have with the Chinese to buy our products. And I'm looking at it like, do we really want to be selling our food to China right now? I mean, do we want to sell our pork and our soybeans and you know, with what's the possibility of a potential, you know, food issues in this country with the economy collapse and all that? So it's kind kind of like when he bragged about the price of Wall Street. I don't like when he does that. And when he's bragging about the fact that the Chinese are going to buy like $250 billion worth of our agricultural products, I don't know if that's something he should be even doing right now with the potential of hard times hitting the country. And food might get scarce or more, could get expensive. And I don't, as a Trump supporter, I wish he'd you know, knock it off.
Well, you have to look at the fact that there's sort of a pipeline, a supply chain of food. They can't just grow it and store it until we need it in this country. In fact, we're already seeing stories where vegetables are being plowed back under the ground to compost, where literally millions of gallons of milk are being poured down drains someplace. I guess they can't get them to the food banks here. And so that's the problem. There's plenty of food out there. It's just getting it where it needs to go. Obviously, with some of our meatpacking plants shutting down there, pork and beef might be an issue. But I agree that we should make sure that everybody in America is properly fed first before we start thinking about selling it elsewhere.
Yeah, I just, like I said, I just think that, you know, you got to have a bigger picture sometimes. It's great with business and, you know, having trade and all that, but, you know, we're dealing with the Chinese, and I don't trust them at all about with anything, mostly, you know. And I'd like to ask you one more thing. If it's proven that the Chinese released this bioweapon, should we consider that an act of war? I mean, and I think I'm coming to the point that if the Chinese did do it, I'd be more, instead of going to war with the Chinese, I definitely want to go to war with anybody that aided them in our country. Anybody that had anything to do with this bioweapon that might have been giving it to the Chinese or having any kind of relationship with the Chinese. I think, I'm not in favor of a war with the Chinese, but I'm in favor of anybody in this country that's an American that was, you know, supporting the Chinese in this whole thing. You know, anybody with any kind of connection with bioweapons that was supporting the Chinese or aided in getting this weapon to the Chinese, they should be put up, they should be charged, and they should be shot. That's just my opinion. I see that there's a demonization process going on against the Chinese. I think that if things don't turn around, that we will be at war with the Chinese. And I just don't think we should go to war with the Chinese with this fifth column of pro-Chinese Americans running around loose in this country. And anybody that has anything to do with the bioweapon is a pretty sleazy character to begin with. But anybody that would trade that kind of information to the Chinese is particularly sleazy and deserves a traitor's fate up against the wall. But just my opinion. And I hear a lot of people talk about the Chinese and how strong they are and all that. They are land power. They're very strong, and they have nuclear weapons. But their navy would be sunk in about 3 days. They wouldn't have a navy. And the Japanese could probably destroy their navy on their own. But the American navy would make short work out of the Chinese. So that's
well,
just
the
my
hard
opinion.
Part,
I don't
want the hard part in all of this. The hard part in all of this is proving that it was a deliberate attack as opposed to somebody dropped a test tube. Because given how many people in China became sick and died, this is looking along the order of a laboratory accident rather than a deliberate act of war. And I certainly don't want a war with China. Accidents happen. Now, the United States, by treaty, is not supposed to be working on biological weapons, but now we're finding on out that the United States was funding the research that was being carried out at the Wuhan BSL-4 lab looking into bat-carried coronaviruses.
Yeah, and I looked today, and they're going to have an investigation, and the 9/11 committee guy, Tom Kane, is going to be one of the guys leading it. So you know what that tells you right there. So, yeah, I think that you're right, that there's a lot of people in our government, and this is bipartisan, that are involved in these kind of shenanigans. I think a lot of it has to do with, like, Bill Gates and the global depopulation agenda. I mean, a lot of these people in this New World Order, they believe in climate change, and they want to depopulate even America, you know, and I think they need to be called on the carpet and investigated, but don't expect it from Tom Kane.
No, we won't get it. Joe, I got to let you go. We got to take a break for commercials. Back with another caller after these few words. Oh, yeah.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cyber crimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With PatriotInternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, PatriotInternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from PatriotInternet.com. Visit PatriotInternet.com today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. And now, set your eyes on the future and let's consider what really happened.
And welcome back to the show here. And a reminder that the postal address where you can send a check, money order, or if you prefer, anonymity cash is Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. The phone number where you can make a credit or debit card donation is 800-724-2719, extension 3. We're going to go back to the phones now to Mark in North Carolina. Hello, Mark. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, how you doing, Mike? I'm Mike. Two things. One is, Joe seemed to think we could defeat China just like that. Wouldn't happen. It would be, first of all, if the Russians got involved, it probably would be nuclear, and obviously nobody would win. Second of all, our military today is demoralized, and I believe there's certain indications that they're ready to mutiny. The case with Captain Crozier was an example. So they are picking from the bottom of the barrel these days too, to get into the military, because people don't want these wars anymore. They see how we do. And the other thing is that, I don't believe China purposely picked a bioweapon on us, because they would have had to do it themselves first, and that doesn't make sense. I mean, they destroyed their whole economy. If it was a bioweapon, like they said, it's either Gates and company did it, or, Gates, Fauci, and the boys, or it was done by accident. The other thing is, as far as
accident,
the...
Accident,
Probably, if it was a bioweapon. The other thing is, as far as the stimulus goes, Mike, this is an example of why I say if we don't watch it, people are going to get fed up totally with capitalism. We will have socialism, whether they like it or not. The idea of taking this money that people desperately need and letting the banks pay off debts with it is obscene. And the other thing is to bail out these billionaires is even more, I don't know which is more obscene. People are sick and tired, Mike. You're not going to put up with it much longer. All right? I mean, you're going to have, if we don't get the country back on its feet soon, you're going to have people starving in the streets. Okay? And you're going to also have rioting in the streets. And it's also a recipe for revolution. That's what this comes to. So the country better wake up, Mike, for I don't know where we're going. And the other thing is, I saw Mark Cuban. I was listening to radio earlier, and Mark Cuban was on one of these business channels, and he was saying, well, we need to change our way of production and use more robots. Again, another example of a billionaire out of control and why this country is going to go towards socialism if this continues, because we need to get rid of the robots. We don't need to use more of them. And that's it for my piece. Thanks.
All right, thanks an awful lot. We're going to switch over to Peter in Los Angeles. Hello, Peter. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Mike, I agree with the earlier caller definitely about we should not sell food to anybody until we can guarantee that we're going to make it through the year here. And that's not a guarantee. It's all the, we can't fish in the Gulf. We can't fish in the Pacific to a great degree. Beef and pork, we know what's happening there. You know, the supply chain problems, they're going on everywhere in the world. There is going to be a food shortage. However, of course, we've also guaranteed, like, even when the U.S. Marines and the Army were being instructed to use scarves as masks, we did indeed go ahead and give those to Israel. That's pretty well established now. They tried to switch it and try to hide it, but we did indeed supply them with 1 million masks to the IDF when our own guys were being asked to use scarves. We've also had an agreement in the past where no matter what kind of oil shortage we have here, we will guarantee Israel's oil. I know you know about that. You've talked about it before. So if anybody is running us, it's them. And if there's any inequality with the trade, it's them as well. I absolutely agree with Mark. It's not even a gimme with the U.S. Navy. You know, with all the monies invested with the carriers, with totally sitting ducks, I can tell you as a former lieutenant colonel in the Army, we cannot go head to head with the Russians or the Chinese on the ground. No way. There's no way.
Correct.
So I guarantee you that's true. And so they have internal lines. They're in the Eurasian landmass. They won't need to use the sea lanes as much as we do. And, you know, it's easier to cut us off than it is to cut them off. So at any rate, that's my 2 cents on that, Mike.
All right. Well, thank you very much for the phone call. We're going to let you go. I'm going to hold the next call until after the commercial break here. Apparently, the people over in Africa are dealing with yet another locust swarm. This one, they're saying, about 20 times larger than the first one. And that was the worst in 70 years. So, I mean, let's see. We've got locusts. We've got a plague. Krakatoa has erupted. Boy, this is like a grade B disaster movie of all the things happening. Next, we're going to have Planet X crashing into the moon and crashing into the earth and everything. We're going to take a break for commercials. Back with a phone call after these few words.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
The Republic Broadcasting Network, late night premiere show of Red Pill Hardcore, is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the Red Pill.
Some have maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, just try it yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far $5.15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And welcome back to our show here. We're going to go back to the phones to Keith Rogers. Keith, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
I want to add to your Planet X theory.
Okay.
Here's something to add to your list. On Global Research, is a nice article called NATO in Arms to Fight Coronavirus. And this is where the 30 NATO foreign ministers have all met on April 2nd. And this is to fast track military equipment down towards Venezuela, and it's pretty interesting about what they have planned here. And this fast tracking allows pass through Europe's airspace for military flights. Of course, all the civilian ones are grounded there, you know. But they're under the auspices of this coronavirus. But of course, all it does is it talks about the number of ships down there, their dual functionality of what they're going to serve as, and it would look like to me. Like, while we're distracted worrying about China or something like that, yeah, they're going ahead and with the U.S. with their Navy Armada down there already, that, and with the U.S. shale oil in a total collapse right now, that this capitalism greed, as Milton Friedman said, is that they're going to go after Venezuela's oil.
Well, again, it's not so much the oil as what currency it's being sold for that's at issue. Because right now the petrodollar is kind of trembling as more and more countries trade for oil in currencies other than the dollar. But yeah, they want Maduro out. They realize Guaido can't replace him. So the push now is for both of them to just step aside and allow the United States to choose as yet unnamed replacement as leader of Venezuela. And of course, they're not getting any takers on that. So yeah, it does look like they're ramping up toward an invasion, and they may replay the Panama scenario where they've already accused Maduro right. of being a narco terrorist, whatever that's supposed to mean, which is what they did with Manuel Noriega, who is now making license plates in a Florida prison.
Right. The sad part about this, Mike, is that this is where we'll have a lot of Americans sit there, you know, where we have to constantly listen about immigration and stuff. When the U.S. went into Syria and they've caused millions to get displaced into Turkey and Iraq and even the Palestinians like that, as people move because of these conflict zones, that if the U.S. does go down into there in Venezuela, you can think of the millions of Venezuelans that are also going to have to start moving there and, you know, seek jobs and whatever like that. And sadly, America will be on the board. And, of course, it gives those that are in power a good reason to sit there and demonize whether they're migrants or how they're getting in there and stuff, you know. And it's the same scenario. Create the problem and then offer a solution. But it's sad there, as you mentioned there, with Noriega, with Panama, of the thousands and thousands of people get killed. And no one ever thinks of that because the U.S., all it cares about is being an oil broker for the world because of Japan and stuff like that, you know. And I have said this for a couple of weeks now. You watch to see if the United States does start up there, which industries it starts first. If it's going to go with, like we already know, that Lockheed Martin is hiring 1,000 and expects to hire 5,000 more. These are all in the War Department. And, yes. Of course, they pay big job, you know, money and stuff like that, you know. But they're not in the humanitarian stuff to get people eating and stuff. You should be, as you mentioned earlier, the fact that we should be restoring our infrastructure as far as food and stuff. So I think this is kind of a trend that shows you that it's the same old thing, you know, just another day in office there, that we're going to witness more wars as the U.S. is allegedly fighting this coronavirus, which you'd think they would divert all their efforts to. They're out waging war. So it's a sad situation, and it's going to cause immigration. It's going to cause more people sucking off welfare and everything like that, you know? So anyway, I just want to pass that around there. But the article, again, was it's on global research, and it's called NATO in Arms to Fight Coronavirus. Okay?
Okay. We'll take a look at that. Thanks an awful lot for the phone call.
Yeah, buddy.
Okay, we're going to go back to the phones here to Joe in Nome. And Joe, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi. To add to your apocalyptic theme there, you're talking a minute ago. I'd wondered if you'd heard about this Comet Atlas
yes.
on the 29th this month.
Yes.
Size of Manhattan is 3.5 million miles, very far away.
Yeah, it's pretty far away, especially if you have to walk.
Apparently, it's going to have a tail four times the apparent diameter of the sun. And contains cyanide.
Not sure. They're not sure. Comets are very unpredictable. In the last report that I saw, it looked like the nucleus may be breaking up from tidal forces. So instead of one comet Atlas, it's going to be a little tiny cluster of small comets.
Oh, did you hear about that one that hit Nigeria? Akur, Nigeria.
The meteor.
Yeah, right. Well, meteorite.
Yes.
You did. Oh, okay. You reported on that. Well, all right. Well, that was all I had. I just thought I'd add to that apocalyptic picture you had going there.
Well, I'm definitely looking forward to the comet, and hopefully it will be a spectacular one. But again, like I said, the last report I had is that the nucleus was breaking up, and whether that will make it brighter or dimmer remains to be seen. Comets are very unpredictable. I mean, the orbits are predictable, but their behavior is unpredictable. Thank you for the phone call. We're going to let you go and switch over to Mitchell in Memphis. Hello, Mitchell. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike, what's going on? Listen, I spoke to you, I believe, on the 8th of this month, last week or whenever, and we were talking about the CAFR and the CAFRs and the CAFR funds. And there seems to be a lot of confusion about this, myself included. I did find an article put out by Ellen Brown, an attorney founder of...
Yeah.
You know Ellen Brown. And if I'm not mistaken, Ellen Brown was on your show.
Yes, she was.
Okay, and I found this, and I think she was talking about the Bank of North Dakota, and she was speaking in terms of, you know, following that debacle of 2008 with the monetary situation. But she put out this article, The Mysterious CAFRs, How Stagnant Pools of Government Money Could Help Save the Economy. And she's talking about an accountant, Walter Burian, says has been trying to rouse the public over what he contends is a massive conspiracy and cover-up involving trillions of dollars squirreled away in funds maintained at every level of government. And then it says his numbers may be disputed, but these funds definitely exist, as evidenced by the comprehensive annual financial report, CAFRs, required of every government agency. Then lastly, if they don't represent a concerted government's conspiracy, what are they for, and how can they be harnessed more efficiently to help the financial crisis of state and local governments? Now, that was Ellen Brown, and I think she's a reliable source. You obviously
yes.
vetted her out and brought her on your show. She's of the order of, I guess, a Catherine Austin Fence or something. I had referenced to you on last week about a Minivan Jack. I called Minivan Jack. He put out a YouTube video of the CAFR swindle, the biggest game in town. I took it upon myself to get in touch with him, and he spoke with him about an hour. It was a good conversation. I asked him if he stood by his video back in 2011. He said very much so. So he's also talking about this, these funds, CAFR funds, and all this money. Now, Jerry Day said he would be delighted to go on your show. I think it would be a very good interview. Jerry Day was on John Stadtmiller's show on August 9th, and John gave him 2 hours. Would it be possible for you to do an interview with Jerry Day about this CAFR business? And also, he's going into some other areas that are very pertinent to in regards to today's issues. What do you say, Mike?
Well, I'd love to have him on the show. Could you email me his contact information? I don't want to broadcast it out publicly so he doesn't
That's
get harassed.
That's fine. Could I give you his website?
Yes. Go ahead.
JerryDay.com.
Well, that's easy.
And he's about your age, maybe a little bit younger, but he's very, very straightforward. John Stadtmiller stumbled across him also, and this guy's very effective. You know, he's not playing partisan politics games. He's a straight shooter, and he's very gifted like you are in disseminating information. And so I think it should be great for your audience. And plus, we can get some clarification on this CAFR business. If you can get in touch with him, and John has his contact information also.
All right. Well, I'll get in touch with him, and we'll get him on the show. I need to get more guests on the program anyway.
I think he would be a good one, Mike. He's already been vetted. I think he'd be a very good one. Hey, thank you, Mike.
All right, thanks an awful lot. We're going to switch over to Paul in New Jersey. Welcome to the show, Paul. What's on your mind today?
Hello, Michael. Michael, I was very alarmed by that article in the Daily Mail that pointed out that the U.S. government gave $3.7 million in a grant to the
yes.
Wuhan lab at the, you know, and they're at the center of the coronavirus leak. And for one, the question is, why would we give money to a lab? Here it is, working with very toxic and biologically hazardous materials that's located in an urban area. I mean, it's all right, let's just assume they were incompetent, as we expect for most government employees. But at least now, and here's a chance for Trump, instead of pointing the finger and blaming the Chinese, why don't we start collectively coming up with lessons to be learned, work with the Chinese, put aside the bellicose language, and urge the relocation of these labs to maybe remote locations. You know, when we did nuclear testing, we brought that out to Los Alamos in the middle of New Mexico, right? And likewise,
yes.
if you're going to do any of this research, the Chinese have the Gobi Desert, perfect place if they want to set up any of this biological experimentation. And so I just don't think that, you know, especially with the power of China and the ridiculousness, because let's be honest, some of these pundits, you know, speaking like, like trying to drum up a war with China are mad. It's just crazy talk. It's not going to happen. We're not going to have a war with China. It would be too big of a disaster. So don't even engage in that rhetoric, fellas.
Yes.
You know, the fact of the matter is, we just take the hit. China's clearly taking the hit. Just assume it's a mistake on their part. And by the way, it's a mistake on our part. Like I said, they toured the, you know, American people who probably have CIA relations, you know, working with these agencies and funding these grants that were given to Wuhan, right? You know they toured that facility. You know they watched, they were observed their practices. And obviously they must have thought they were running it in a competent manner. So, you know, so the way I see it, we're partly responsible. We, you know, it's been proven as that fella said, how we transferred it from the University of North Carolina, some of the working stock that they used for drumming up this coronavirus. All right, so our hands are all over this, too. We're not innocent in this game. So why don't we just work collectively? Now, here's the concept of mine. It might sound ridiculous, but why don't we, and this goes for the United States, too. Not only do we need to close the Fort Detrick biolab, we need to, you know, if these people really need biolabs, how about picking some remote island? America has some remote islands, right?
Like maybe Plum we could island. Take.
Well, that's not that remote. That's close enough for a bird to fly with Lyme's disease, in my opinion, from off the coast of
Connecticut. They shut down the facility on Plum Island, and they moved it onto the mainland. I mean, they're going in the wrong direction with this stuff. And by the way, Fort Detrick has, at least for the moment, been shut down.
Either way,
not the entire fort, but the USAMRID.
But maybe they could locate it either a remote island, maybe one of the Aleutian Islands.
Right, how about Antarctica?
Right, but if you want a more tropical setting, maybe we could make a deal in Guam or with one of these small island nations or Bikini Atoll. And so it's more of a tropical paradise for these biolabs. And then we have to set up another island,
There's Christmas Island. There's Christmas Island. It's located south of Hawaii, and it was actually used for biological weapons research in the past.
Exactly. And then you need another, like, secondary island, which could be the quarantine island. So people coming out of that have to be quarantined before they're released into the world. You know, we have to have, like, a halfway spot. And then if something goes wrong at the biolab, we nuke it. And those are the rules, and all the scientists, you know, they're so interested in their research, and they want to do so much for mankind. Let them work under those conditions, you know? If you want to experiment and play God with viruses and all the rest, you have to do it over in this safe location so you don't endanger the rest of the world. And this is the perfect opportunity. I'm giving this to Donald Trump. This is what you need to bring up here. Lesson learned so this never happens again. So the world, we can set example for the rest of the world and get other nations to join us in this endeavor just to isolate these labs, stop funding them, and end this shenanigans.
I agree. And I think the reason that the U.S. is trying to farm some of this work out to other countries is because technically under treaty, which doesn't have any way to enforce it, there's no verification whatsoever. But in theory, the U.S. government is forbidden from engaging in this kind of research.
So that's always the cheap out, is to farm out. It's just like why we outsource our companies and our manufacturing. There's some other so-called reason or rule that you know, the oligarchs wrote, right? And in a sense, they might have written that law just to have it done overseas for lower costs and fewer legal repercussions. But the world is round. It's a closed space, and these things can come back to you. It's like that line out of Jurassic Park, you know, where if something gets out of the cage, once it's out of the cage, it's done. It's throughout the whole world. And that's the problem with these biolabs. Once you create these things, and once it's loose, there's no stopping it now. And so Donald Trump, do the right thing. Step up. Write some globalist legislation. They love globalism, right? They love this stuff. He can be seen like an important man and just start relocating these facilities to some remote location and have all that stuff done, some, you know, ignored location. Anyway, thank you, Michael.
All right, you got it. We're going to switch over to Mark in Montana. Mark, I'm going to have to take you through this next commercial break. What's on your mind?
Hi, Michael. I'm the oil field guy that calls you on occasion.
Yes.
Thought I'd kind of update you folks on the oil situation. Oil is at $20 a barrel. West Texas is pretty much shut down. I think they're anticipating about a 50% unemployment rate. I took a risk and drove up to Oklahoma City, where I have a buddy that lives, and he and I are going to both try to get in with Amazon. Amazon's definitely hiring. I can't go home to Montana because I live on an Indian reservation there.
Mark, I'm going to have to put you on hold. Mark, I'm going to put you on hold. Don't hang up. I'm coming right back to you after these few words.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cybercrimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With PatriotInternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, PatriotInternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from PatriotInternet.com. Visit PatriotInternet.com today.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When your doctor tells you you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last 2 decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendovite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The 7 herbs in Extendovite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendovite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendovite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something, by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on. Can't get no wage, can't draw no pay.
And welcome back to our show here. We're talking with Mark in Montana, although he's not in Montana. He's in Oklahoma trying to seek work with Amazon. And Mark, if you could just sort of pick up where you left off.
Sure. Like I said, back home in Montana, what the idiot governor did is he closed all the casinos down. That's like the number one well, probably the number two source of income after mining and maybe after farming. So the Indian reservation where I live, the Crow Indians have shut the whole reservation down, no one in, no one out. So, you know, I'm actually going to be, maybe from now on, be marking Oklahoma. I don't know. I kind of like it here. It's not Montana, but it's not Texas either, thank God. But I don't, this is a prediction I'm going to make. With oil at $20, we are exporting a lot of oil right now. A lot of it's going to South Korea and Japan. I don't see the oil industry correcting itself probably in my lifetime. I don't see oil back around $80 or $90 in my lifetime. And I also don't see this economy coming back in my lifetime to where it was before. I think we're going to use this, I call it a fake coronavirus thing or crony phony virus. I think they're going to use that to just keep this economy pushed down. I think it's a push against Donald Trump, and it's a big push against the West. That's my opinion.
Okay, well, thank you for the phone call. We're going to let you go, and we're going to switch over to John in Vancouver Island. John, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
How are you doing today?
Doing fine, thank you.
Okay, I wanted to phone about, I heard that, I think it was Pakistan's shot down India drone the other day, and they were ready to go to war. I don't know if you want to call it that, but they were at each other's odds. And Russia walked in and said, "Hey, curb it. We got bigger fish to fry." I wanted to know if you knew anything about that.
Not beyond what you've already said, but, you know, Pakistan and India, they've been making stink face at each other for a very, very long time. And they're always on the edge of breaking into conflict. And once again, Putin has shown that he's a global statesman.
Yeah. So, yeah, I just thought, you know, Russia is now the new peacemaker of the world. I just wanted to see if you knew something about that and get some confirmation.
No, I don't know any more about it than what you just shared with us.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and by the way, when you said you're getting tired of this coronavirus?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought maybe we could talk about intercontinental time-traveling Sasquatches.
By golly, there's a topic for the show.
Okay, you have a good day, buddy.
All right, thanks an awful lot. Okay, the phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Now, according to this article, we got to take a break. For station identification, we'll be back with more news and phone calls after these few words.
Is the Second Amendment your line in the sand? Is the United States Constitution important to you? Are you worried about gun confiscation? You need to join us for free at gunconfiscation.com. At gunconfiscation.com, you will meet like-minded patriots, get the latest Second Amendment news, and find anything you need to prepare for gun confiscation. Visit gunconfiscation.com today. That's gunconfiscation.com.
Which side are you on?
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.